a prank on neighbours, but I was never caught. We all played knockout ginger. We knocked on every door. We knew they didn't like it, so we did it all the more. We played devil up the drainpipe. Some paper we would light. They'd hear the roar inside the house. Gave some a nasty fright. I had an old car tire, and then I'd get inside. And as it rolled, my head would spin. Oh boy, what a ride. With whip and top, I'd love to play. Not one car you would meet. I'd have to watch the milkman as his horse came down the street. I'd have my share of tumbles. I'd graze my knees in play. But there was always mother to kiss the hurt away. From candles lit inside a jar, a card a windmill made, the memories of paper planes will never, ever fade. We never let the girls join in. A girl was such a bind. It's surprising as the years rolled on, we seemed to change our mind. The games we played so long ago, I have endless lists. I feel so sad for kids today on what each one has done. I wouldn't change my tire, my lovely whip and top, my marbles and my dinky toys. My life I'd never swap. 'Twas nearly 60 years ago that I played in that street. The neighbors gone, all passed away, the ones I used to meet. I thanked the Lord when I was young. He kept my life in trim. The life he gave me as a child, I now give back to him. But I did drop a sort of a clanger when I was in Blanavon. There was a lady at the age of 92, and she said, "Your name is Terry Jones, and you broke my window with your whip and top. And it cost your father 1 and 6 pence to put the pane of glass back in. So we're not all gone and passed away." Out of all the people to meet, I woke up one morning, as I do every morning, and it was when the Lord had taken away the poems, because I thought, this was me. But the Lord gave me something else. It isn't you. I give them to you. I have the glory, not you. And I told, two ladies came up to me and said, "What a wonderful poem." I said, "Thank you very much." And God stopped it. Every night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, it's a lovely time to be awake, the Lord used to give me 2 or 3 poems a night. I had nothing. Then all of a sudden the thought came in, I had to go back to those two ladies and tell them that the Lord gave them to me. And that's when I realized. And then the first one I had when I woke up, I had nothing for a month. Then the Lord gave me 80 years and 10. It's when I woke up and looked in the mirror. I have park benches and I'm not a pretty sight in the mornings, but this is what the Lord laid on me. "O Lord my God, I'm growing old. My thatch is rather gray. My eyes, they both need spectacles to read your word by day. My teeth are leaving one by one. My dentist is fantastic. And for the while, to help me smile, he's filled the gaps with plastic. O Lord, my skin is wearing thin. The wrinkles I can see. A mirror always speaks the truth of what's become of me. But you, my Lord, see deeper than anyone I know. You know the seed that I have sown. and the seed I need to sow. I know I'm growing old, Lord. My body's just a lend to walk the path you want me to, with you, my dearest friend. And when my walk is over, my body then shall be a glorious one that feels no pain, for you have set me free. In my church, I always start to grumble about certain people. And the Lord usually tells me to mind my own business. Because every church is almost perfect. We find there's nothing perfect, however hard we search. That's why we must accept the fact there is no perfect church. When only Christ is perfect, it's we that rise and fall. It's we that fail to love the few, when Christ will love them all. Some will seek that perfect church. They always hope for more, and find it is no better than where they were before. In every place of worship, you'll always find there's one who is not completely satisfied on how the church is run. There is no church that's perfect, and all because of sin. To make it almost perfect is love the church you're in. So God tells me off on certain times, but I always fall back into the slide of it. With God, we have one choice, and it's a simple one. The Lord can go from something light to something straight in your face, and it's called a simple choice. A choice is a decision, a simple do or don't. When falling to temptation is either will or won't, a choice is either this or that, a simple yes or no. A choice to start a journey is either stay or go. With God we have two choices, the darkness or the light, but many pathways for the feet to get it wrong or right. To love the world or Jesus Christ, believe in him or doubt, a simple choice of heaven or hell. You're either in or out. Amen. He's undressed.
Terry, nobody's addressing me. No, sorry. Let's come to the Lord in prayer before we look at his word. Dear Lord, we praise you and thank you and bless you that we are a chosen people. You've gathered us together here this morning that we might come, dear Lord, and look at your word. We would ask that you would send your spirit now, that you would quicken and enliven us. And dear Lord, I pray for all those whose hearts have grown cold to your word, that you would make them soft and malleable once again. They would be eager. The dear Lord, of those who don't have an appetite for your word, that you would give them that appetite again. Their mouths would salivate, dear Lord. They would be hungry. They would say, give me more, feed me more. For dear Lord, we have a prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread. And dear Lord, we would ask that you would give us today food, that you would give us, dear Lord, stimulation, that you would give us drink, dear Lord, so that we might be revitalized in you because of who and what you are. Dear Lord, if our eyes have grown dim and we can no longer see your face, we would ask that you would be clear and right before us, dear Lord. And if our ears have stopped up, that, dear Lord, you would clear them out and you would speak directly to our hearts and souls and mind, that we would know who is our Lord, that it's not this world, but rather you. Come, Lord Jesus, we would ask right now. Send your Spirit and change us as your people as we look to you. We would ask this in your holy and precious name. And God's people said, amen. Thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I've been reading from verses 10 to 18, a well-known passage of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Important that you should have your Bibles, because, believe it or not, us preachers get it wrong. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. This is what it says in the Lord's Word. Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. For all the saints. How strong are you? Our reading says, be strong in the Lord, but how strong are you? How strong are you in the Lord? Do you have strength carousing through your body, as Christ did to say that I have food you know nothing about? Do you have strength that this world does not understand, that comes into your body and sustains you and encourages you and enables you to do the things that no one else can do? Do you have a body? Do you have a spirit inside of you? Do you have a will that seems to have a momentum that has nothing to do with you? That you have the power of God, that you have fire inside of you? Do you have your spirit, and does he have access to you, or are you afraid of him, and do you keep him apart? That you say, well, perhaps I'm too old. You know, this world needs prayer warriors, and if perhaps you can do nothing else, that you can pray. You may say that I'm too old, but that never stops you putting your hand on someone and asking God to heal them. You may say I'm too old, but that doesn't stop you seeing and hearing what the world does, and that you can pray against it as our Lord wants you to do. Do you have power and strength in your life, no matter how small and big you are? Have you accepted this power of God in your life? Are you in fire for him? Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians not to attack them or to correct them from such heresy or a particular error, to bring them back from going astray, but rather to expand their minds, to allow them to experience a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They had so much more available to them. Their horizons could be so much greater. And you, as God's people, do you have those horizons before you? Do you have that greatness of God that should be carousing through you, because you are God's chosen people? He has saved you. He has enabled you to be joint heirs in the kingdom of God, so therefore you are prince and princesses? Or is it that you believe what the world would have said of you? But you believe the world says you're not good enough. Well, how on earth can you not be good enough? Because didn't the Lord Jesus Christ save you? The world says that you'll never amount to anything. Hasn't the Lord Jesus Christ come into your life and changed who and what you are? You're so precious to him that he hung upon a cross. He died and suffered so that you as individuals and as a people of God might be incorporated into his family. That perhaps people would say, well, you're not very attractive. How is it then there's a Lord, a God, who created this whole known universe that head over heels in love with you? How on earth can you not be attractive if a God like that, if a God who has given up everything for you so that ye might have a relationship with him, then you must be attractive. There's something that he is attracted to. And you are attracted to him because of his love and his grace to you. I've never been particularly strong. When I was at school, I was useless as games, as they were called then. They went on to be physical instruction. I never liked football. I hated rugby. I did enjoy athletics. This meant, of course, I was a pushover for the bully. I preferred academic subjects. You know what it's like in school if you preferred that. I shunned the physical aspects of school life. This meant my time at school on times was very uncomfortable. Many would say, well, my school days never did me any harm. But with Christ, I now know that I no longer have to put up with the bully. I no longer have to put up with those who are prepared to destroy others in this world because of their bullying tactics. I would encourage you that if you see people being mistreated, that you would pray, that you would get involved, that you, as God's chosen people, would say, Christ would not allow it, so why should we, as God's people? For we are strong in the Lord. And because of that, we can lift people up out of the holes in their life that others and the devil have put them into because of the words that this world has said about them. Be strong in the Lord and allow his fire to be in your life so that you may impart that encouragement and that life to others. You may at times feel despondent. Well, think on these things, that the Lord loves you. The Lord cares for you. The Lord wishes to place in you a power and greatness this world does not understand. If you have no peace, then accept the peace of Christ in your life, which passes all understanding. If you have nothing firm to stand on, then stand on the Word of God, the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you, as God's people, cannot be assailed. You cannot be discouraged. There is a fire which is inside of you, which the world cannot put out. For God says, be strong in me. Allow my strength to be in you. Don't cow in the corner. Do not be timid for the Lord, but find his power and his encouragement in your life. A fire which puts a desire in your heart that you wish all to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have to live the way that they do. You, if your life isn't the life that you want, you do not have to live the life which the world would give you. Rather, you can live a life which the Lord Jesus Christ wishes to place in your existence. It's one of greatness and purpose, one of love and compassion, one of peace and contentment, one of wholeness, for you know, being the adopted heir of He who sits on high, then you have the capability. You have a future. As Terry said from his poem, one of choice, one of being in the light and with God forever, or one being in darkness. If you have that understanding in your life, that you have a secure eternity, this means that you can be robust. You can have health. You no longer have to be weak, but rather you would have a passion and a greatness and a purpose in your life which would go beyond perhaps your circumstances. For you see, Christ comes into your life to change who and what you are and give you such great purpose. For are you not God's people? And if you are God's people, then do you not do what God would ask you to do so that you might bring glory to Him? Bring glory to Him. Many people today would say they do not believe in God. And many people believe there is no devil. But all you have to do is look at the state of the church. Look what happens within our society. Look at the unraveling of the family. The destruction of those things which we once held dear. And what our society has replaced them with, which is generally nothing. Those things which we once trusted, we can no longer trust. And because of all this vacuum in our lives today, the devil rushes in and attempts to make our society crumble into pieces. And all the while, it seems that the world tries to keep things together with sticky tape and string. You see, the devil is a liar, and he spreads lies into our generations. And that's why we see the crimes our young people commit. That is why we see the pain and suffering of adults inflict one upon another, even though we as God's people are supposed to live and love each generation upon generation. The devil likes to slip lies into families that continue on and on. He enjoys to break down that which God has instituted. And we, as God's people, must tell the world that they are precious, the family is precious, and Christ can come in and change your life. He can break those lies. He can destroy them and change who and what you are and transform you and your family. If you ever doubt these things, I don't know if you've ever had Victory Outreach along, but they show what God and Christ does in a young person's life, and to see a family change from disaster and destruction to completeness and wholeness in Him. You see, the message that the church has is one of strength and of passion. It's one of compassion and love and truth, for people to realize they are worthy. For didn't a God die for you? And if He died for you, then surely you are worthy. And if we're willing to accept Him, then we can become holy and have purpose. We can leave behind, if we accept, you celebrated a baptism. There's a young life that's left behind everything that's gone before. And there's a new life in Christ. And that's available to us. Perhaps years ago we were baptized. Perhaps we made this decision. And perhaps our purpose has crumbled. Renew that purpose here this morning. Renew it with Christ. Allow Him to make you bold and give you strength. Why not have strength, loved ones of God, so that you might be able to stand and have purpose? Why not allow the Spirit to come into your life to make you stronger and provide the miracles that our God wishes to work in your life? Our God is a mighty God, and everything is beneath his feet. Everything has to bow to him. But you are his chosen, and you are his loved ones. Why not reach out to him and say, Lord, change who and what I am. I no longer want to be weak. I wish to be strong. I no longer wish to be afraid. I wish to have courage. I no longer want to be mistreated. I want to know the love of God in my life, so I may spread that around to everyone who's around with me. That those who fear, I would bring courage. For those who are mistreated, I can bring blessing to their lives. For those who are in pain and suffering, I can bring healing and your grace. For I take you with me and I go with you where you wish to send me. What sort of life do you want? Are you prepared to say, Lord, send your fire upon me so that I may go amongst your people and change and take them where you desire me to go, so that I might be changed, renewed, and empowered for you and my God. And I am your child. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are your people. And you've just told us in your word that we can be empowered. And dear Lord, I pray for all those who are here that they would open that door to allow that power in. For your spirit is here, but how many of you here this morning are willing to accept it and take it in? For remember, the Lord is knocking and there's no handle on his side. Are you willing to open the door so that he might come and sup with you this day? That he might come and change your life this day. That he might come and heal you this day. That he might come and enable you to be the person that you should be this day. That perhaps that you would realize that you are his prince. That you are his princess. That you would take the truth into your life. That you are an adopted heir, and that you have a place to secure in heaven to be with him forever. And that you are now at work in this world. What then, loved ones of God, here this morning? What do you want? The fire of God in your life? Or do you want to be as you've always has been? As that child is crying out this morning, are you willing to cry out to the Lord in the same way and say, Lord, minister to me. Save me, fill me, change me, heal me, renew me. Amen. Before we move into a time of communion together,